Welcome back to Hour 2 of Sound Space. I'm Zanuck Zigian, host and producer of the show. We are in a very magical spot. A spot of aloha with Jake Shimabukuro, master ukulele player, performer, and musician. Jake was born in Honolulu and at 4 years old was drawn to the sound of the word ukulele, which means jumping flea. He began lessons at the Roy Sakuma Ukulele Studios, Hawaii's premier teacher. Alan Parsons personally asked to produce his 2012 album, Grand Ukulele. Parsons' credits as a sound engineer include Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon and the Beatles' Abbey Road and Let It Be. Jake started to experiment with effect pedals and transforms this tiny instrument into a million different musical forms, playing jazz, rock, classical, traditional Hawaiian music, as well as folk. It led him to collaborate with a number of incredible musicians. There's also been a documentary made on him entitled Life on Four Strings, and he's dedicated many years to nonprofit charity organizations to create outreach programs and educational workshops to schools. We are going to have a phone interview with Jake right now, here in the spot. He's calling in from Hawaii. There will be sample tracks. Let's hear what he has to say as his new album, Trio, has been out since January 2020. Here we go.
Okay, you got it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're doing homeschooling right now, so they're online with their teachers right now here.
It's an all-in-the-family conversation. I love it. Well, aloha, Jake. These are the days, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Aloha to you, too. Thanks so much for your time today.
Welcome to Sound Space, Jake. I know listeners to Spokane Public Radio have been very excited for this interview to happen because it was a switch up in your flight, and you were on tour at that time. Seems like ages ago, right?
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's been a bit of an adjustment, you know, for a lot of people, I mean, all over the world. And, you know, it's kind of comforting to know that we're all in it together and, you know, and we're all experiencing the same things, watching the same news. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's been a rough time.
It's a good exercise in empathy and compassion for each other right now. I wanted to start off by letting people know that you've released 3 albums, part of the band Pure Heart, and you've released to date 16 solo albums. 6 of those albums reached the Billboard Top 5 World Album Charts, including the number 1 Peace Love Ukulele, 2011. Were you always put in the category of world music?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I mean, it was always Hawaiian, Hawaiian music growing up, and because I was born and raised in Hawaii and playing the ukulele, you know, here. And I always liked being in the Hawaiian music category because I always felt it was easy to find, you know, ukulele music, right? Uh-huh. You just would go to the Hawaiian music section or the world music section, and, you know, and it didn't matter if you were playing, you know, contemporary music or even jazz or whatever style of music you were playing, you know, even non-traditional. It was nice that you knew where to find it. You know, you could always find it in island music section or... So yeah, so it was good. I'm, you know, the music is so healing, and I think it touches so many people. I used to equate it to surfing. You know, surfing was invented in Hawaii, started in Hawaii, and now it's all over the world, wherever they have waves, right? You know, it's just kind of taken off. But the ukulele is kind of the same way. I think it's been growing in popularity, and the more and more people that come in contact with it, you know, I think it touches them in a way that makes them just want to pick it up and start playing it. You got four strings, four nylon strings, and two octaves to work with. So it's very simple, user friendly, and it's extremely affordable. You know, you can get a decent instrument for like $60. You know, so. I used to say that if everyone played the ukulele, the world would be a better place. So I'm a huge fan of the instrument, and I just like you said, it's not intimidating. It's actually inviting. You know, it's friendly and makes you want to pick it up and
just like you, Jake.
Time to do it.
Probably people think that way about you when they meet you. You're friendly and they want to pick you up and give you a big hug. Yeah.
I started playing when I was 4 years old, and I just loved it. And I love working with children and playing for them to show them how much fun I'm having doing something that I love, you know, and how I feel so alive, you know, when I'm playing and doing something that I'm passionate about. And I want to use that energy to inspire them, you know, to find something that they love. And I tell them all the time, I say, like, you know, whatever it is that you love, like maybe you have a passion for photography and you want to take pictures, you know, for a living, or maybe you have a passion for cooking and you want to be a chef and open a chain of restaurants, right?
Yeah.
I love sharing that with them. And I always tell them this, you know, I always tell them that it just takes three things. You gotta just work hard at it. You know, you gotta practice. And I always tell them, you know, and the most important thing is you gotta be drug free, you know, and I share with them how I've been drug free my whole life. And I've always, you know, I've had struggles in my life, but I've always had music to help me through those things where I never, you know, resorted to anything that would be harmful to me or that I thought would impact me in a negative way. You know, just the music brought me so much joy, and the last thing I would want to do is do anything that would take that joy away from me, right? So
you filled it with really positive things of a good nature.
You know, early on when I had the opportunity to work with some kids, I realized that that a lot of them, you know, it wasn't that they were just unhappy or they just, you know, weren't motivated. It's just that they had never felt, you know, that sense of joy or fulfillment, you know, or success, you know, in their life. So they just didn't know they were missing something, you know. But then once you find a way to inspire them or just kind of light that fire, you know, you just see them, the transformation, you see how they light up. And then once they feel that, they're like, oh, I want to feel that again. You know, I think that's so important to give everyone that opportunity or that experience, you know. And the younger they can feel that experience, then the more time they have to really hone in on it, you know. And
yes.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Then they start to do that for other people.
You know, what I'm hearing too, Jake, and when you're explaining that, you know, in a bigger context, speaking a lot about younger people, I think that the ukulele has become very popular with older people because it does bring out that sense of wonder. And I think it is an instrument that allows people a channel to go back to those feelings of what you just explained. You know, senior centers and a lot of these, you know, community centers that offer just basic ukulele group jams and learning, and it exposes people to that. And they're older people. You know, I love that. It's almost like full circle, but it's also an instrument that allows you to tap into an inner child in a way, you know?
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I remember in my nutrition class, they would always say things like, you know, you are what you eat, right? You know, trying to encourage us to eat more, you know, healthy, you know, veggies and things like that,
sure,
so we feel better about ourselves. But, you know, but I always believe that you are what you feel. You know, you are what you feel. All the emotions that you feel, that's what you become. That's what, you know, they manifest into real physical things, you know, like a smile or the way that, you know, your eyes light up, you know, things like that. Your body chemistry completely changes when you're in a good mood or when you're feeling good. And music to me has always been like the language of human emotion, mm-hmm. you know, so when you're listening to music, it's one thing, you know, because it helps to bring out certain emotions, makes you feel a certain way. But when you're actually creating music yourself, when you're actually holding an instrument and playing it, or when you're actually singing a song and engaging in the creation of music, you know, the way that it stimulates your entire body chemistry, you know, and your soul and your the physical elements of your body, your mental state. I mean, it's amazing. It's like fireworks going off, right, all at once. And I think that's the key, you know, because when you can create music, when you're actually playing music, right, you're getting in touch with all those feelings. You're getting in touch with yourself. You're feeling things again. You know, you're not, whether you become, you know, a little hardened after all the experiences and the years of growing up, and you kind of, I think music helps to soften you up again and makes you open. It makes you, like you said, it brings out that childlike wonder, mm-hmm. you know, in you again. And I think that's why, like, a lot of, you know, maybe senior, it's become very popular with mm-hmm. senior centers and all of that, because I think they pick up the ukulele and they start playing these songs that they remember when they were a kid.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have never played an instrument before, you know, but mm-hmm. it's their first instrument, and they're starting to play an instrument at the age of 60 or 70. Yeah. And they're like, I can do this. This is amazing. And it just like changes, but the transformation that happens is incredible. Mm. So, I mean, when I get to see that and just witness, you know, that happen in front of my eyes, it's so rewarding, and it blows me away every time. You know, music is just, you know, what I am, you know, it's just mm-hmm. such an essential element of my being that, you know, and I also feel like music is not, you know, if you want to get real philosophical, you know, music is not just when you're holding your instrument. It doesn't just happen when you're holding your instrument or when you're on stage. I mean, it happens when you're talking to a friend. It happens when you're paying for your coffee at the at the cafe. You know, it happens when you're comforting your child, or when you're giving someone a hug, or anything that deals with feelings and emotions and connection and communication and how we interact with the things around us and just our environment. You know, to me, that's all music. And when I pick up the ukulele and I can get into that space, you know, that's when, to me, like, real music happens, you know, inside of you, and express that right through whatever, you know, you're holding or doing.
Well, I am right now holding one of your most beautiful covers of your CDs. It's the Jake Shimabukuro Trio, and it's your latest release. It came out early this year of 2020. It's a studio album called Jake Shimabukuro Trio from Music Theories Recording and Mascot Label Group. It's with bassist Nolan Verner and guitarist Dave Preston. And the bio notes reveal that the three of you clicked really well on the road and during the recording of your 2018 album, The Greatest Day, Jake. Why now in your career did you make a true band album? Like, why did it take so long? And is this a natural evolution for you?
The way this album came about was, you know, I've been touring with Dave and Nolan for almost 3 years. No, Nolan and I have been touring together for about 5 years, and Dave joined us about 3 years ago. And the reason I wanted to record this record is because I basically wanted to just recreate what we do at Soundcheck.
Nice.
You know, because whenever we're on tour, you know, we'll go and set up and mm-hmm. we'll do our sound check, and then we'll just jam and play for like almost 2 hours, and we'll just write something, or we'll just jam and play. Almost every time when we're done, we look at each other and we're like, oh, we should have recorded that,
right?
You know? And that was the whole idea with this record. We're like, you know what, we got some time off, let's just go to Nashville, the three of us would just go into the recording studio for a week and we'll just do what we do at soundcheck and see what happens. I mean, that's what this album was.
Yeah. You know,
it was, we would have like little ideas and we'd throw it out and be like, hey, what do you guys think of this? And sometimes we'd be like, let's try something else. And then sometimes someone will suggest something and then we'll start playing out. We're like, oh yeah, this feels pretty good, you know, and we'll all contribute something and feeling like they could just freely give an idea. And I didn't want it to be where like this was my record and you know, it just had to be like, oh well, what do you want? What do you want kind of thing. It's just like, hey, what do you think? You know, what do you think? And a true collaborative record. And it was so much fun. You know, it's just you just have the trust, you know, with everyone. There's just the trust within that circle, and having three different people that play different instruments, that come from different backgrounds and, you know, grew up listening to different styles of music. You know, when we hear, we can listen to the same thing, but we all hear it in a different way.
Yeah, and I think your musical expression is so intensely emotional. I mean, clearly, your instrument is like a voice. It does channel what you're thinking and feeling when you play. You have accomplished that with this album, Jake. Being mostly a solo performer, what makes collaboration magical to you?
With true collaboration, I guess, you know, two words for me, just trust and honesty, you know. Coming into the circle as who you are, not trying to put up any front or no egos, you know, just coming with that humble spirit and then just the trust that you know, no matter what you play or what you say or whatever decision you make or the things that you suggest, you know that it's you're in a safe environment where no one's gonna think any less of you, or no one's gonna criticize you. You know, you just know that you can be yourself, and let whatever happen naturally. You know, because that's the only way something new can be explored. You know, when there's no hidden agenda. Mm-hmm. You know, when someone's not trying to set you up or bait you for something. You know, you're just trying to create something new and play something that you've never played before and do something, you know, where you don't have to feel self-conscious about something.
I think it's time to visit some music here off this album. I have chosen On the Wing to lay on people. I like a lot of songs on this album, and Soundspace listeners have already heard a couple of them on the album, and I'd love to play that. Do you have something real quick to say about that song before we let people hear it?
It started off with a little theme that I had on the ukulele. And I remember just playing it for Dave, and Dave had this incredible vision for the steel guitar. He just thought oh man, the lap steel, because you know the lap steel was invented in Hawaii as well, right?
Yes.
So it's kind of it's like an indigenous instrument, right, to Hawaii. So he thought, man, yeah, he just had this vision for that sound. And then he had this technique. They would record the same part three times on the recording, and it just gives it this really, I don't know, this magical sound, you know, when you have the lap steel and you play the same part three times, so you just triple the part, basically. There's this magic that comes in, just this it's like a chorus effect, but I don't know. I can't explain it, but when you hear it, you just know. I mean, you just know there's something about it. Mm-hmm. And George Harrison used he used this technique on a lot of his recordings whenever he would have lap steel. So it was really neat to just tie in the George Harrison thing, because George Harrison, you know, he was a big fan of the ukulele. You know, he loved the ukulele. And it was one of his songs that really got my career going, right? It was the While My Guitar Gently Weeps YouTube video that went viral. On top of that, you know, his connection to Hawaii, because he lived on Maui, tying that whole thing in with the lap steel, the George Harrison, you know, the ukulele, him living in Hawaii. And then also the main theme that the song opens up with is actually an ode, a variation on a on a what they call a kihoalu lick, which is a slacky guitar, you know, which was another kind of very Hawaiian style of playing the acoustic guitar.
Nice.
So, you know, so we had all these things.
Yeah, I think that's why I chose it.
Together.
Yeah, it represents a lot. It has a lot of ins and outs, and it ebbs and flows, and that is why I chose it. So, well, let's hear it, okay?
All right.
Here we go. On the Wing from the Jake Shimabukuro Trio album. Here we go. Jake, I do cover shows here once in a while, and I understand the passion that people have for covers. It's one of their favorite things to hear in the world, and you're a master at picking them and playing them, and you've made a lot of them very popular. What does that cover song have for you to pick it? Think
of
that.
Oh, wow. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's just, oh gosh, sometimes it's just the melody. Sometimes it's just like a rhythmic thing. I mean, there's usually one element that just kind of stands out to me, you know, and it really grabs my ear, you know. But of course, most importantly, it's how the song makes me feel, you know, when I hear it. Mm-hmm. In your life, you know, there's always a song that kind of takes you to that that moment. It's very, very powerful. And when I play certain songs that have a special memory for me, when I play them, it's very moving for myself. You know, I don't know if it's moving, you know, for other people, but you know, for me, when I get to play it, it really I really connect with it, you know. And
absolutely. And well, I've chosen another track off the newer album, and it's Wish You Were Here. Why did you choose Wish You Were Here on this album?
A few years ago, I worked with Alan Parsons on an album of mine, and he produced it. And just being able to work with him and to hear his stories and, you know, just all the stuff that he did, not just his solo stuff, but, you know, the things he did with the Beatles and, of course, Pink Floyd. Mm-hmm. I always just thought, man, you know, it would be cool to one day record a Pink Floyd song, right? And Wish You Were Here was always one of my favorites. I mean, that guitar. And I remember we were halfway through the recording week. I was thinking about that song, and I just, you know, turned to Dave, our guitar player, and I said, man, you know, do you know that song, Wish You Were Here? And he looks at me and he goes, you mean this one? And he plays the whole guitar intro, like note for note. And I was like, yeah, that's the one.
That's great.
And it was just one of those moments. I was like, oh, man, okay, we got to record it. Yeah. You know, he's able to just orchestrate all these sounds out of his electric guitar through using different effects and echoes and, you know, reverb effects. And so then the ukulele can just sit on top of all that, and, you know, and there's just space for everything, you know. It's there's just room for all the different elements, and they don't fight each other. That's the nice thing about the three instruments. And that's why I've always felt like, you know, it has to be electric bass and electric guitar and ukulele, because and acoustic ukulele, because the timbre of the ukulele will never fight with the steel strings and the electric pickups of those instruments. And the other thing is, you know, the bass and the ukulele are complete polar opposites, right, when it comes to frequency range. Mm. And Dave's guitar part, you know, sits perfectly in between, you know, both registers.
So yeah. Well, hey, let's listen to Wish You Were Here, okay? It's track 8 off the album, Trio, and we'll hear it now. Here we go.
Thank you.
do you condense that big spirit of Hawaii, your home, into your music in the studio, Jake? I know it's a little probably easier to do it in performance on stage or in open air, that big, beautiful, open spirit that's the Hawaiian Islands. How do you handle that and wrestle with that in the studio?
Oh, that's a tough question.
That's okay.
I just, you know, trying to not overthink things. I will say, you know, even though I say like, oh, I just try to have fun and just, you know, go with the flow and just, but, you know, there are times where I get so frustrated with myself and,
sure,
you know, with my playing and just with the way things are coming out. And, you know, but then that's always the time when I realize like, okay, I need to just take a step back or just take a break. Oh, let's go out, you know, and let's go get a bite to eat, or, mm-hmm, you know, or maybe just call it quits for the day and come back tomorrow and start fresh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to be a feel thing, right?
Some musicians can't stand going into the recording studio. It causes them all, mm-hmm, kinds of anxiety, you know what I mean? And frustration.
Yeah. And I'm definitely one of them too, you know? I hate it. I don't hate it as much as I used to,
uh-huh,
you know, but it was like pulling teeth going into the studio for me before, because it's like listening to your voice on a recording. You just, I hate listening to myself, you know, and
right,
hearing myself back. And but once you start looking at the studio as a safe canvas, you know, mm, to paint whatever you want to paint, and mm, you don't have to show it to anyone until you're ready, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's then it becomes a little bit more enjoyable.
I'm going to end our conversation here with, I chose your instrumental version of Hallelujah, the song written by Leonard Cohen and made really crazy popular by Jeff Buckley. It's from your live recording of your show in Franklin, Tennessee. Is it 2017? You made it available free online for people during these times, during the crisis. You wanted to share music, which is a wonderful gesture. What makes that song so musically popular? Why are musicians and in turn listeners so drawn to it?
Oh, well, there's just something so magical about the combination of those notes, you know.
Mm.
It's one I just never get tired of. And I always tell people, hey, if you want to do a good version, a good cover of Hallelujah, all you got to do is play the melody.
How
you
about
know, that's
it?
All you got to do.
That's great. Yeah, that's really great. I would like to say one of the stanzas of this, because the words are so incredible, and then let people hear the instrumental itself, because you do a great job of it. It's just absolutely beautiful. The one stanza that really stands out to me, it goes like this: maybe there's a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. And it's not a cry,
yeah,
that you hear at night, and it's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken Hallelujah. I think that encapsulates that song, but it also really lays a great foundation for the way that you handle it instrumentally. Because it's not all flowers and butterflies, and sometimes our spiritual journeys or the spirit of ourselves and how we feel that in other people is a really rough road. And it can be a road that doesn't have easy answers either. I think that it's really neat how you have elevated certain songs that have been done by other people, because it doesn't always happen that way. I don't think covers always come off, you know? You're not only a master ukulele player, but you're a master at choosing these songs and infusing your own spirit and your own Hallelujah into them, Jake. And I want to thank you for that. I know there are a lot of other people that probably really love you and your music because of that. I can't tell people more to go out and experience your music if they never have.
If you're like me and you still like tangible things, you know, you can still buy the CDs or the,
yes,
or the vinyl. We release them in vinyl. You know, it's interesting now. Vinyl actually at our shows now. Like, vinyl outsells CDs.
And you have some beautiful color vinyl on the for this album.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, the colors are beautiful. Yeah, you chose some really nice colors for all of this. Well, Jake, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time this afternoon amidst everything going on. It's been a really great time speaking with you. I really appreciate having had this conversation. Do you have anything? You have anything you want to say before we cut out here and play this version of Hallelujah?
Yeah, just thank you for thanks for your support today, and it was nice to just have a conversation, you know, with someone, and to all the listeners, you know, at home. Yeah, we just got to stay positive and you know, and keep listening to music, keep making music, and just keep the love going.
Yeah, and supporting artists such as yourself. Well, we can't wait till you get back out on tour, Jake. I hope you keep safe and well with you and your family, and mahalo.
All right. Thank you so much. Mahalo to you, too. You take care.
All right.
Thanks take for your time.
Sure
Aloha.
Thing. Aloha. And that ends our spot for tonight here on Soundspace.